for rhymes you can vision and feel. Conducted in form, this is a hell of a concept.
Another Thursday night, Bullguard Fight Radio. How are you, my brother?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Excited to be here as always. Excited for another great show. And excited to have, you know, be with my co-host once again, man. I'm sorry that you're feeling like crap, but I know you're a champ, and we'll be doing our best to get through this night. If not, you know, if need be, we got an awesome team at MMA Madhouse, and sure enough, somebody will jump in here and help us out if need be. But
we're going to push through as much as we can, man. I just... I've been under the weather for about a week, and I can't seem to catch a break here. But I look forward to Thursday night, so I'm going to try to push through. So enough of
me.
What's going on tonight, brother?
We got the Maximum Fighting Championship newly signed Chris Barnett, big beast of a fighter. You know, 7-1 so far as a pro, and you know, he's a Florida-based guy. He's fought at a bunch of the Extreme Fighting Championship events, which is, you know, based out of Tampa, Florida. And just recently, like I said, just recently signed a 4-fight deal with Maximum Fighting Championship, and looking at making his debut for the MFC heavyweight title at MFC 37 in May. So we'll be starting the night off with him. From there, we're going to go into an interview that I have been wanting to do for a long time, been excited about. It's a young girl out of this Tampa area. She fights out of Highlander MMA. Her name's Delaney Owen. They call her a little scrappy. She's got a 4-0 record so far, and some big things, 4-0 AMI record. Some big things are coming for her, no doubt. So be excited to get her on the air. She's always with Michael Highlander. I see them at a bunch of the events, you know, throughout the Tampa area, and we've been talking for some while, you know, about getting her set up with an interview, and just saw him this last weekend at the fights I went to, and, you know, I knew right away. Like, you know what, we'll get her on tonight, this week, and we'll get her going. And then we're going to close out. We're actually going to do something the first time I've ever done this. I'm not sure about you, but we're going to interview Michael Gattuso from Global Fighting Solutions. We're going to actually be interviewing he's the head and the owner of Global Fighting Solutions, which is a sanctioning body that works all throughout Florida. I actually think he's kind of out in your neck of the woods down there in Cape Coral, I think is where he's based out of. But I see him all the time. He's had a lot of fights. He's in high demand. So we're going to be talking with him. Actually, we're going to be doing something pretty cool. We're going to open up the phone lines at that time, too. We're going to let fans be able to call in and ask him some questions. And I myself have always wanted to interview a member of a sanctioning body and ask them their feelings about some things that go on in the cage and stuff. And I think this will be a great interview. You know, we got some big rule changes coming up for the amateur MMA here. And it should be good. I want to ask him his thoughts as a sanctioning body on those rule changes. And on top of that, he actually just started iCageFight.com, which is kind of like a global database and ranking system for MMA fighters, promotions, be able to put up events, all kinds of stuff. It's a phenomenal concept, phenomenal idea. It just launched within the last week, this website. So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It's at iCageFight.com, just the letter I, cagefight.com. And get yourself on there. If you're a fighter, you're an AMI fighter, a pro fighter, if you're an event holder, you're a promoter, you're a referee, a judge, whatever it is, you can enter your information on there so that if somebody's putting together a fight, boom, they go right to the website. They say, okay, I want this judge, this sanctioning body, this referee, this is who I want. You can set it all up through this website. It's going to revolutionize MMA events and promotions. So it's a phenomenal thing. But before we even get rolling, before we get going, always we want to give shout-outs to our sponsors. You know, the guys that pretty much companies that put us on the air, and without them, we, you know, neither you or I would be here right now. It's BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, GameChangerNow.com, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. Thank you guys for all that you're doing for us. Thank you guys for what you're doing for the sport and the progression of this this beautiful thing that we love so much, you know. And also thanks to GFL.TV, Go Fight Live. You want to see fights, you want to see great fights on a 2-3 days a week, multiple fights every single day, go to GFL.TV. They are the place to watch local MMA. It's cheap. Once you purchase the pay-per-view, it's yours for life. You cannot beat that. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good night, man. I'm excited. Got Bellator on in the background, and just ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. I was just listening to you. I'm actually looking forward to hearing about Delaney Owen, especially after the big weekend with UFC 157 and Ronda Rousey and Liz Carmouche. You know, I swore up and down I wasn't going to watch the fight. I got pumped up. I got sucked up into the hype, and I ordered it, and I spent the $45 on it, and it was a good fight. I enjoyed myself. I want to hear what Delaney has to say about being an up-and-comer in the world of mixed martial arts as a woman. Looking forward to hearing what Michael has to say. I've never done that. I've never done an interview with somebody who's, you know, who's
member of the sanctioning body like that.
Who's up in that aspect. I'd like to hear about how they make their decisions on suspensions and things like that after hearing, some boxer was just fined $900,000 for smoking marijuana and, you know, things like that today. So it's just, you know, it's going to be a different aspect than what I'm used to. So three guests. I'm looking forward to hearing some callers call in and ask the questions they're sitting on. So it's going to be a good time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want to also just quickly thank our sponsors. You know, again, weekly, you guys keep us plugging along, and I really appreciate it. I know Matt does. I know Carl and Skippy and all the guys at MMA Madhouse. We really appreciate your support, and we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you guys. So, you know, thank you very much.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, speaking, you know, before we'll be jumping in here in a few minutes with Chris Barnett, but before we even go there, you brought up UFC 157. I'll touch on that real quick. As you said, that was a phenomenal fight, phenomenal main event. I thought that I know from experience of being put in a neck crank that Ronda Rousey's face and neck were probably a bit sore for the next couple of days. I think if Carmouche gets her to the ground and has her back on the ground with that neck crank, I think the fight's over. I think she finishes it. But the not having the best leverage and the fact that Ronda was able to kind of shake her over the top was the only thing that saved Ronda. It's kind of ironic how little and how much Liz Carmouche and Vitor Belfort have in common, because they were both mere millisecond decision away from finishing off two of the top fighters in the world. You know, Vitor so close to finishing off Bones with that arm bar, and Carmouche was so close to finishing Ronda, and it was a great fight. Aside from that, the Dan Henderson Lyoto Machida fight was extremely boring.
It was one of the worst fights I've seen, especially from two quality fighters. Man, it was just so boring.
Yeah, it was very, very disappointing. All Dan threw was that overhand right. He kept trying to land the overhand right, and outside of that, he just stood there. Even the fight went to the ground, and I figured, okay, on the ground, Dan's going to go to work. You know, he's this legendary wrestler, been around a long time, and he's worked over some great opponents on the ground. He beat Fedor on the ground. He beat him with punches, but still, he got him down, and he TKO'd Fedor like that, you know? So I don't know, so disappointing. You know, I was disappointed, a little disappointed in Machida, but Machida, at the same time, Machida didn't have to do much because Hendo really didn't do much, didn't do much himself. So Machida followed his game plan, followed the game plan that he set for himself, and won himself a easy fight. You know, as far as I'm concerned, because there just wasn't much going on in that fight. You know, I was really I really enjoyed the Court McGee fight. Court was really working it early. Actually had to run out during that fight, so I missed the end of it, and I missed the Uriah Faber fight, but I did greatly enjoy watching Koscheck get TKO'd by Robbie Lawler. Not a Koscheck fan, so.
Yeah, I'm not a Koscheck fan either. I mean, the guy just runs his yapper, but I'm not a Court McGee fan. I'm over his story. I'm whatever, but I was very happy that Uriah Faber won his fight. I enjoyed the card. I really did. I mean, the undercard was incredible. I think the main event lacked a little bit, the main card. The main event was good. The co-main event, I was just like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm so thankful that it wasn't a five-rounder. I would have probably, jumped out of the window or something. I don't know. It was terrible. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I don't want to say this, but I think I might be a fan of women's MMA. I never really thought I wanted to see women get out and punch each other in the face and work each other over, but I really enjoyed it. I thought, I was excited when Liz Carmouche took her back, and I thought she had her. I really thought we were going to see a new champion.
Same here. I was like, I saw that, and she had it cranked, too. It was cranked hard, and I was just, like I said, from being put in one of those, I know how bad that hurts. And I know that when I was put in it, I wanted to tap right away. There was no hesitation, no thought of, hey, can I deal with this? No, I wanted out of that right away. So, and Carmouche is probably 50 times, the fighter that I got put in that neck crank by. So, Rousey's tough, and there's no questioning her toughness.
You're absolutely right. Her toughness is just is unparalleled. I mean, really. I mean, that looked painful to me. I've never been in a neck crank, any layman can see that didn't look comfortable. Your head gets cranked around, and you got to give her credit. She hung in there, and the will to be a champion just overcame her. Just like with Bones earlier when you were talking about that. Working hard and being somewhere that you've worked your entire life, and you're not just going to let it slip by. So, no, I got to give her credit.
Absolutely. I can't let any time go by without talking about the fight I was at last Friday, the ABC Gator MMA fight card here in Newport Richey. Amazing night of fights. I am a little behind on my recap. I've just had a busy week. The recap will be up very, very soon. I look forward to reading that because it is awesome. What a great night of fights that was. That was just phenomenally hard work and dedication put in by Daniel Blevins and Chris Lamarty out of Gator MMA, as well as many other members of Gator MMA, Christine Blevins, Juan Marty. Just lots of hard work by them and just a great fight card put together. American Battle Championships came out. They helped out, and did some work and came out and overall it was just a great night of fights put together by lots of hard work from lots of different people. The guys of Ralph and Twain from the World Class Fight League were in the house hanging out. Reggie Pena from the XFC was in the house hanging out. It was a great night. They packed the house at the All Sports Arena in Newport Richey, Florida, and it's going to be going down again probably in late April. It's going to be about every 6 to 8 weeks. It was just a great night of fights. 14 fights went down. One was the kickboxing fight, but the 13 MMA fights were phenomenal. Great, great night. We saw a record 6-second knockout in the fourth fight. It was just ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous. The fighters came out, and was Tyler Spears. Give me 1 second, and I'll pull up the fight, but... I'm sorry, I think it's Josh Spears. He threw a kick, just kind of like a body kick, and the other guy kind of moved back a little bit. But and then he dropped his hands. Yeah, it was Michael Ottenreith versus Josh Spears. Spears kind of threw a little kick at him, backed him up, dropped his hands, and then Ottenreith went in with an overhand right, which put him out. 6 seconds into the fight, he was out cold. It was a little concerning for a few minutes as Josh Spears wasn't moving, didn't look to be breathing for a minute or two, but he did get up and was all right. We'll come back to that. Actually, we're going to go right in. Don't want to keep our first guest of the night waiting. We're going to go ahead and bring in the newly signed Maximum Fighting Championships, Chris Barnett, going right into a heavyweight title on MFC 37. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, dude. Right away, man, how does it feel to be signed by the Maximum Fighting Championships?
Man, it feels great, dude. Just to be out for as long as I was, to be able to jump back into it is like an opportunity people would die for, and it's going to be amazing what I'm going to be coming with.
Right on, man. Now, like you just said, you were out for a while. Was it some sort of an injury, or what kept you out?
Yeah, honestly, it was life in itself that kept me out. It was, I guess, whatever that law is, anything that can happen will happen. And,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen it all, you know, between the ups and downs of this whole fight game. And thankfully, mine's actually about to climb and rocket through the roof, so.
Right on, man. Now you fought a bunch for the XFC, which, you know, it's a Tampa-based promotion. And they're doing some big things right now. They're actually getting ready to come back through the Tampa area in June. What was your experience like with the XFC?
Never a bad experience actually fighting for them. The promotion aspect of it, that was kind of, you know, here and there, you know, ups and downs with that. But as far as fighting for them, the Tampa fans were on, you know, what I could have ever imagined. Being in that, the Ice Palace, hearing people, you know, yell, "Peace, boy," and, "Oh, Chris," and, you know, whatnot, was phenomenal. I mean, their shows they put on are top-notch. Can't take anything away from that. It was a humbling experience, and then also it put me in a place of, wow, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because hearing a crowd cheer for you, some people, you know, shelter up and get afraid. But with me, I was like, yes, yes, please, keep yelling. I love this.
Right on, man. Tell me, what's the fight camp been like? You know, I mean, have you started the fight camp yet, or what's going to go into your fight camp once you finally get back in it after being out for so long?
I've had like a 2-year fight camp. Like even though I've been out, I haven't been off. You know what I mean? So the fight camp's awesome. I'm between Delray and Georgia right now. Actually, I was down there training with Black Zillions about 2 weeks ago, helping Alistair get ready for that last fight and whatnot, and working with different heavyweights from, you know, different areas. You got guys like Eric Prindle that came through. That was Bellator champ a while back. You got like some of the top K-1 guys that came through. And then when I'm in Athens, Georgia, I'm up here training at a hardcore gym with Master Adam Singer and Roy Singer. And I mean, the talent that comes through the door at hardcore gym, it just amazes you every time. Like, you'll never not get pushed at the either one of these gyms that I'm at. And it's just it's an amazing feeling to know that I can bounce back, you know, and get different looks and get different feels and hear different advice from like these MMA gurus. And as far as the camp goes now, I've even got guys coming out of my dad's Taekwondo center that I've been working a lot with, especially my brother, who's, you know, if you Google his name, it pops up, and, oh, okay, you understand who he is, Curtis Barnett. He's got me doing stuff like pushing me to breaking limits, and that's family right there. So, you know, they're not going to sugarcoat anything. I got my dad and my brother, and even my mom comes at me with, okay, so what are you doing? Get up. Why are you sleeping right now? You know, this morning it was like 4:30, and she's like, you know, it's 4:30, right? Gym's up opens up at 5. You better be in the gym at 4:59. I'm like, Mom, wait, the gym doesn't open up until 5. She's like, exactly. You better be at that door. So you don't need to have that that push coming from every direction, coming from, you know, Georgia all the way to Florida. It's an amazing feeling.
Hey,
Chris, what's the hardest? You said you've been out for a couple of years, and I see your last fight was in April of 2011. What's like the hardest thing? You said you're not off. I mean, you're off, but you're not away. What's the hardest thing about getting back into the swing of training for an MMA fight?
As far as training for it, I don't ever. There's never a hard thing to like train for, because if you don't get the enjoyment of being able to punch somebody in the face, then something's wrong. You know what I mean? Especially punching somebody in the face and not getting in trouble for it. That's the best thing in the world. But it's never been a hard thing for me, because I've always been the type of person that, okay, cool, I'm not fighting, but what's my team doing, or what does this person need? And I'm more than willing to, hey, cool, you need to punch me in my face? All right, cool, but I'm going to take you down? All right, we got it. We got this game plan. Let's keep it moving forward. So getting back into the swing of things has never been hard, because I've always looked at it as, if I help you, I know you're going to help me back. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So me knowing that fact that, okay, I might have to sit out for a little bit because of this or that, but I know as long as I stay, you know, active with it, somebody's going to either be, you know, willing to help me out because they know I was there for them.
Sure. Is it safe for me to assume that boxing is your favorite discipline in MMA?
Boxing?
Yes.
No. My favorite would be, actually now it's going to, it's weird. Well, you know what? That's funny because, yeah, I could say that now. If you would ask me that about 2 years ago, I would have been like, no, wrestling and maybe, you know, throwing in taekwondo. But realizing where my hands have come from and where they're at now is crazy. And I'm more of a, like, I'm an aggressive fighter now. Just from that 2 year mold I've been able to scrape out and cut out, I love throwing hands now. And it's crazy because the head movement and the stuff that's there falls back on my roots of taekwondo. Is like, okay, if you get kicked in the face, you deserve to get kicked in the face because it came from his leg, not like face-to-face where your hands would be up. So the fact that it's the hands in front and I'm still able to move like it's almost a taekwondo match, it opened up a lot more for me because I opened up my hands.
I love the MFC. It's probably my favorite promotion in North America here. And what are you most excited about going over to the MFC? And have you had a chance to sit face to face with Mark Pavlich?
No, I haven't had a chance to sit face to face with him. But I got a chance to talk to that guy on the phone, and his energy on the phone. Like, I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody, and the way like they're talking, it makes you talk like that. That's what happened to me. Like, he was so excited. I was just like, yeah, me too. I don't even know what I was, like, agreeing to. I was like, yeah, whatever you say. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. Like, I think that day I was kind of like, you know, I was going through my little Eeyore. I was like, okay, if I had to. He called me, and I was like, yes. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Yes, I love Grapefruit too. You love Grapefruit? I love Grapefruit. Oh, my God, this is great. So the fact that he's a ball of energy, literally, is going to be another fantastic thing, which is going to want to make me fight that much harder to impress him. Like, I'm in my head, I'm like, what am I going to have to do to, you know, to make this guy jump out of his seat? So I'm planning on, like, backflip off the top rope, jump back kick, and then off the corner type kick, you know, just to make this guy jump out of his seat, because his high energy and, like, his presence alone just over the phone had me like, okay, yes, this is awesome. Oh, my God, this is the greatest thing in my life.
Yeah, I appreciate your answer because that's exactly what I was hoping you were going to say. I've had a chance to talk to Mark a few times, and like the guy makes me want to run through like a wall after I get done talking to him. You know,
yeah.
I'm not working for him, but you know, I love talking to him, and I get so fired up when he talks. I'm just like, what can I do? What can Carvey? So I appreciate that candid answer. That's kind of what I was hoping for. But what are you most excited about going to the MFC for?
Honestly, the fact that they were willing to give me an opportunity, the fact that it's, you know, I was out for 2 years, so it's easy to look at, and the rumors and everything that whirled along, you know, with me being out, the fact that he looked past all that and he said, you're a great fighter and I want you in my organization. And the fact that he said that, and I've seen his fights and stuff, his fights are always either like high action, or even if it's on the ground, the little guys are rolling like two squirrels fighting over a nut. It's always high action, high speed, high intense. And the fact that I get to be a part of an organization like this, the words I can't even put like into words. Just it's an amazing, beyond amazing feeling.
Hey Chris, let me rewind a little bit, and you mentioned talking about where you've been training and stuff and get ready for this fight. You said the name Eric Prindle. It sounded like you said you've been training alongside Eric Prindle. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. Eric's a big he's the biggest, most evilest looking guy, scary ogre. Like, I don't know, that new Giant movie coming out, like, he could have cast for that. But like, he's the nicest dude you'll ever meet in the world. Like, I got a chance to, when we were down training with Alistair, he was in the house, and he was like Papa Bear in the house. He was making sure we were all up. He was cooking dinner. He was, doing everything, and just his presence alone was it made you want to be a better person. Like, it was almost like having a preacher in the house. You didn't want to do anything bad. You were like, hey, man, I put that down. Into the other room, he ain't see you. So just a great humbling guy. Hopefully for this camp I'll get to go train with him. I think he's up in Michigan right now training, but hopefully, yeah, I get to go up and train with him again. Just it was weird, too. Over in Singapore, we actually had the same flight, and then the day we landed, I'm not used to talking to my opponent, or at least my opponent being, like, polite and nice to me. I remember landing and him being like, hey, so you're here by yourself? And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, man, that's crazy. You can come hang out with us. I'm like, fine. I'm about to fight you in a couple of days. What are you talking about? But that's just his personality. Like, he's a great person. Like, if the definition was in the dictionary, Gary Prindle's picture would be right next to great person.
Well, I mean, you pretty much, I don't even have to ask my follow-up question to that then, because you pretty much just answered it. I was going to ask, you know, like, what's it like training along some guy who, I mean, he's the only person who's beaten you so far. You know, you've got a 7-1 record and the one loss coming from Eric Prindle. But, I mean, you pretty much just trumped my next four questions because he's talking about how nice of a guy he is and stuff. So, I mean, that's cool that, you know, you don't see that a lot in MMA. You know, I think in my head it'd be hard to be friends with a guy and train with a guy who, like, you know, beat me. But I guess that's a higher level of professionalism and sportsmanship. So that's really cool. I mean, training alongside him and getting to know him as a person, would you ever want to rematch against him to avenge that loss?
It would be weird now. Like, if you would ask me that probably, like, about a month after the fight, I was like, yeah, sign me up today. Now, I think we'd be too busy, like, smiling and stuff. I don't know if you noticed in the actual fight, first round, when he was still down on the ground, I helped him up. Just because, instinctively, I was like, oh, he's a good guy. Let me help him up. And the commentator was like, you never really see that in MMA. These guys are fighting, and they're helping each other up and whatnot. So, fighting him now, more or less, it's more like we've established that friendship. I don't want to jump off, you know, and say, you know, I think what it would come down to both of us, if it was like a nice enough check and, you know, we both were, you know, whatever, cool with it, then, of course, yeah, we'd love to go back and forth just because we're in this sport to fight the best. And how we both feel about each other is we're top echelon fighters. So, of course, we love putting on the show. We love, you know, we love doing it, and you know, like I said, fighting the best. So yeah, I'm sure if it did happen, it would be like one of the people would hate it because you know people love a whole you know rat attack going back and forth. It'd be us being like,
yeah.
Oh no, you're a good puncher. No, you're a good puncher. You know, like back and forth like that. So, but yeah, I mean, if it came down to it, I'm sure me and him would both love to fight each other again.
Right on, man. Well, listen, you know, we want to give you some time to give some shout-outs, you know, to sponsors and thanks to anybody who you want, you know, before we let you go, man. So go ahead, you know, give your shout-outs where people can find you on Facebook and Twitter and any thank yous to sponsors you want to shout-out to.
First, big shout-out to Black Zillions Camp down in Delray. Guys like Scott Barrett, you know, make stuff like this possible for me, helping me out, you know, Alistair, all those guys down there. Then to 460 miles up north in Georgia, shout out to Hardcore Gym, guys like Master Adam, Master Roy, helping me out doing that. My whole entire family, like beyond means, like I can't put in words, the pressure that they're applying is that not break you pressure, but we're going to bend you, you know, to that max to get you to where you need to be at. So big up to my dad's Taekwondo School, Barnett Taekwondo Academy. Shout out to my, again, a family, my brother, one of my coaches, Chrisman. He's a big part of the game. I can't wait till y'all get to see what this kid has my hands doing. Chrisman is he's like a Freddie Roach of MMA, I'll say that much, as far as his philosophy. Couldn't fight to save his life, but he's a big part of where my hands are going to be at. For our sponsors, shout out to Yums, Liquid Nitro. Hopefully, Clinch Gear gets on with it. I hope they hear this, you know. But yeah, especially Yums and Liquid Nitro are always looking out for me, helping me, whatnot. But yeah, that's about it. Shout out to y'all. You know, put me on the radio. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hopefully you guys can have me on here again.
Absolutely.
We're gonna have you on here. We're gonna have you on the radio after you your win. How's that?
That's it, dude. I appreciate it. That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome.
All right,
absolutely,
man. Yeah, I mean, best of luck in May. We will definitely be talking to you again after that. Looking forward to you walking away with that heavyweight title, man. So thanks for being with us tonight, man, and have a good night.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris.
No problem. I don't know about you, Jason, but, I mean, first reaction is one of the top interviews I've gotten to do. Absolutely awesome guy to talk to.
You know what strikes me the most is that he appreciates Mark Pavlich's desire and will and passion for the sport of MMA. You can see, because he's got it too. You know, he's got, his mom's kicking him in the behind to get him at the gym at 1 minute before the door opens up. And with family like that, who needs enemies? But I mean, you can tell that he loves it. That he's very unselfish guy. He's working to help his teammates and whatnot. And, that's a good dude. That, again, we talk about it week after week after week. Just the people in MMA are just good people. I've run into a handful out of the hundreds and hundreds that I've talked to in the MMA realm, the MMA family, I guess, five maybe, that are not worth having a repeat conversation to. And, Chris Barnett just goes right into the other category. I mean, the guy's a good dude, and I wish him nothing but the best, and I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching MFC 37 to see him take the strap. So that was fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got a couple minutes here. We're going to be jumping in. We're going to be doing a really cool interview with Delaney, little Scrappy Owen, based out of the Tampa area. She fights out of Highlander MMA in Gracie, Tampa. She's got a big fight coming up on March 30th. I believe it's a title fight. We'll find out for sure from her. It's going to be on the U.S. FFC 11 Redemption fight card in Marion, North Carolina. Where she's facing off against Hannah Cyphers. Yeah, five 4-minute rounds. So, yeah, I do believe that should be a title fight. So we'll ask her about that after what she's been up to. She's, mutual acquaintances with some of the people out at Gator MMA. So, like I said, I see her and Michael Highlander out at fights all the time. They're big in this area. Highlander's commonly being a judge at some of the local fights and stuff, so be a good interview. Somebody who I've wanted to see for quite a while, really itching to see her fight live. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do that this time around, but hopefully we'll be able to definitely watch her fight in person very, very soon, because I hear nothing but awesome things about her, so be a cool interview. But yeah, I mean, to kind of touch on what I was talking about before we jumped in with Chris, awesome fight card this last Friday, man. I know that you jumped in the queue and weren't able to, I don't know if you were able to hear me or to respond, but dude, a 6-second knockout. The dude was out cold. It was about 10 times more vicious than Uriah Hall over Adam Sella. Hands down, no doubt about it. And it was a little scary there for a few minutes, but he got up, he was okay. And it's just it's a great night of fights. I got to say, Gator MMA came away 4-1. We got Zenon Herrera lost a really close decision fight where any other guy probably would have been knocked out by his opponent was hitting hard. And Z just kept coming at him. Z was putting together some nice combos and some good work. But his opponent, Kevin Harrison, was just the better fighter that night. And Z walked away with a decision loss. But he's a warrior, and he's got the heart of a freaking champion. And we our four wins, Jeremy Christensen, Otis Arango, Curtis Burt, and Dean Stupar, all by submission, by different submissions, four different submissions. It was just a great night for Gator MMA. Dean Stupar walked away with the ABC 130-pound title that night in a win over Daniel Michaels out of ATT. It was just a great night, man. I couldn't have been more excited for the Gator guys, for my teammates and stuff that went into war that night, and it was just a great night. Otis Arango, just the fighter of the night, man. Best fight of the night, just 100% domination. He just standing up on the ground, Otis was perfect. He executed an absolute perfect game plan and came away with a beautiful Kimura. I'm just excited. Cannot wait to see him get back in the cage and fight. That was just, I've been so anticipating that fight and just so been looking forward to it. So glad that glad he went in there and went to business. You know, we're going to jump right in. We have a little scrappy Delaney Owen on the phone. Looking forward to talking to her for quite a while. So we won't keep her waiting. Delaney, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing very good. How you doing? How's it going? Get ready for your fight here in just over a month.
It's great. I'm excited. I've been training really, really hard. Just trying to stay strong and work on a lot of technique lately.
Right, right. And now is that going to be for a title fight up there in North Carolina?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be for the 115, the strawweight title. So I'm even more excited about that. It's going to be my first title fight, so it'll be good.
Right on. And now you are 4-0, correct?
Yes, officially 4-0, yeah.
Okay. And I mean, what's after this next fight, are you going to be looking to maybe take some more AMI fights? Are you looking to go pro? You got anything, like any big news or any possibilities on the horizon at all?
It's all kind of up in the air right now. I would love to go pro. I'm hoping that this is going to be my last amateur fight. But, you know, never know what happens. So if I can get a pro contract as soon as the fight is over, then I'm going to take it. So I'd like to go pro as soon as possible.
Right on. Now,
hey Delaney. Well, I'm sorry, man. Delaney, just if you could tell the listeners that you know a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you got started in MMA, how a pretty girl like yourself gets interested in punching people in the face. I don't, you know, I'm always curious about that.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a family with I had three other siblings. My parents not really into the MMA, they don't really think a girl should be hitting people or anything like that. So, but I did triathlons for a while. I was always very athletic. I did a lot of softball and baseball and stuff like that. So I enjoyed sports. I was always around the guys. I always tried to do stuff that they did. I was pretty tough growing up, kind of like a tomboy, but, you know, girly at the same time. And then around when I was 18, it was, what day, it was actually 2 years ago, almost to the day, I just decided I wanted to learn self-defense. So I call up Mike Yanez, and I go try out his free class, and I went with another friend of mine, and he actually ended up not training anymore, but I got hooked, and I loved it. I was kind of addicted, so I just kept on training, and then 2 weeks after I started training, I did my first tournament, jiu-jitsu tournament, and that was fun. I placed a couple times, and then I think I lost a couple matches, but still, I was excited. I even, you know, I won a match. That was incredible to me that I was able to beat somebody. So then I just kept on doing tournaments and winning, and I loved it, and I loved the adrenaline and the excitement. And then about a year later, Mike, my coach, Mike Yanez, he owns Highlander MMA. He's the black belt there, and he just encouraged me. He's like, you know, I think you'd be good at fighting, and I think you should try it out. So I was like, all right. So I did it. I went and fought, and I believe it was West Palm Beach, I think it was. And I fought Paxton Nettles there, and she was my first fight. She's a tough chick, and that's kind of how I got into it.
Tell me, did you see the fight UFC 157? Do you watch that at all? Did you? Tell me, I know you're very brand new in the sport, and you know, just starting 4-0 amateur record, hopefully moving pro. Tell me how you feel to see that growing up, finger quotes, in the sport as a woman, and to be able to see what you saw on Saturday night.
I almost cried.
Yeah.
I was so excited and so happy for every girl that's trying to get out there and show that they can fight as well, just as good as the guys, and almost more technical sometimes than the other guys. And I think that they really proved something, you know, for us And, you know, even though some people didn't like Rhonda, some people didn't like, you know, Liz, at the end of the day, they fought their hearts out and they did something for the sport. So it was almost like people weren't really, I don't know, they were rooting more for the women than they were for each individual person. At least I was. I wasn't really going for anybody. I was just happy that they were there fighting, you know. So that's, I was just excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was too. And I'll be honest. I had a chance to talk to Ronda Rousey in another radio show a few different times, and I told her, I'm like, listen, Ronda, I'm not a huge fan of women's MMA, and you know, she gave it to me. She lit into me, and she was telling me that I was an idiot and I was wrong and I was this. And I said, listen, maybe it's because I don't want to see, you know, ladies beating up on each other, whatever. But I'll tell you, man, I really thoroughly enjoyed. I've enjoyed the Invicta cards. I've enjoyed, you know, the fight the other night. So I'm a fan, and you know, I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to be looking for Delaney Owen here soon, and you know, so hopefully we can get you an Invicta pretty soon.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. I would love that, and I know that's probably going to lead into the UFC as well. So hopefully they'll get a 115-pound division in UFC for me. I would love that. That would be great.
I gotta ask you. I respect the fact that you know your the nickname. How tall are you, Delaney?
How tall am I?
Yes.
I am 5 feet.
I was gonna say because I googled you. I looked up the picture and you're tiny. You're little.
Yeah. I'm really short. I got short legs. So.
Okay. Well, tell me what it's like to be a shorter fighter. I mean, I'm sure some of these ladies, I mean, you know, women obviously are built a little bit differently than men, so they're not going to tower over you, but pros and cons. Give me some pros and cons of being a 5 foot fighter in the world of MMA. Is it beneficial? Is it, you know, is it an asset or a liability to you?
Well, like the girl, Hannah Cyphers, the girl I'm about to fight, March 30th in North Carolina, she is 5'2", so that's going to be the first time I fight somebody that's even remotely close to my size.
Okay.
And I fought a girl, the majority of girls that I've been fighting, they're definitely taller. And, you know, it's good because I feel like I can get kind of underneath and I can go more for my takedowns or submissions. But it's also hard because they can be pretty scrappy at the same time and very wiry. So it's hard to contain them at the same time. But, you know, I've learn to work with it because of rolling with all the guys and, you know, they're going to be taller than me, you know, the
sure.
majority of the time. So I have to just work with it. I think it makes me a better fighter because I've learned to just deal with whatever comes my way, you know.
Sure.
So I have to deal with the knees. Like, you know, everybody wants to throw knees at a short person.
sure, yeah.
So they want to try and meet me in the head, you know, whatever they can. So I've learned to protect that and, you know, work on that a lot more.
What is your favorite discipline? You know, when you get in the cage, where do you want to be? Are you most comfortable on your feet or do you want to be on the ground?
Well, I'm learning to be more well-rounded.
Okay.
But I would have to say my first love is definitely jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
So, Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
And you've only been doing that for 2 years, you said?
Yeah, I started 2 years ago. Yep. February 19th, 2011.
So I mean, we're just over your two-year anniversary, and you know, look at John Jones. He's a title holder in the UFC 3 years after he started. So, you know, you got a year, and we'll be expecting big things from you.
Hopefully, yeah, definitely. Also, I just want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Brahmamal, if I could.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They're a wonderful sponsor, clothing sponsor, and they sponsor really big fighters. A lot of women, too, in Invicta. So definitely check them out.
Sure. We got a couple more. Do you have a couple more minutes to hang out with us?
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to get that in before.
Sure. Absolutely. No, I respect it. They pay the bills. I understand. What can we expect in the fight? You know, somebody who's going to turn on the fight, your fight coming up here, what can they expect to see, you know, when they watch Delaney Owens in the cage?
Well, I really want to prove that I don't belong in the amateur rankings anymore. I want to prove to the world, to, you know, everybody watching, that I am ready to go pro. So if that means, you know, finishing her as soon as possible, whether it might be a knockout or a submission, I'm there to win. So that is all I have to think about. So honestly, that's kind of it. I really want to prove myself, and this fight is going to do that.
Okay, well, one more question, because I just told Matt to go ahead with his question, but I gotta ask this one question. This is like this phenomenon to me, and I can't wrap my head around it. When you're training, training, obviously the event is faster than training always. When you get in there, you say you want to win, you know, immediately or whatever. Is that really the case? Do you know when you get in there and you know when you're beating an opponent, you know when you're better than your opponent. Do you really want to finish them as quickly as possible, or do you want to, you know, kind of work on game speed kind of stuff?
Well, no, I want to get in and out. I want to spend as less time in the cage as I can, you know. I want to get that belt, and I would like to have that 5-0 record. Honestly, even when it comes to tournaments, like jiu-jitsu tournaments, I'm in and out. Like, if I can finish them, even, you know, if it goes the distance and I have to win by points or whatever, you know, that's great. I learned, you know, either way, I learned from it. But I always want to finish as fast as possible, first round, if I can. So.
Okay. And how about, do you cut weight? Because that's another phenomenon that I can't wrap my head around. Do you walk around at your, you know, close to your fighting weight, so you don't really need to? I guess if you're fighting at 115 pounds, you probably don't walk around at like 160, I'd say.
No, yeah. Since I'm fighting at 115, I used to walk around actually at like 118. But then I started working out more, and I really don't lift at all. I gained a lot of muscle just from rolling and stuff. So I walk around now at probably, like, I don't know, 125, something like that, 127. So I have a good 10 pounds to drop. But it's pretty easy because I start out, you know, five to 4 weeks out. And then when it gets closer to weigh-ins, I really make the cut. But it's nice because I always bounce back really quickly. And thank goodness I end up just having a lot of hydration, and I feel great fight day. So that's really good, because sometimes it's really hard for girls to cut weight, especially for girls. You know, guys, you can cut weight pretty fast. You know, you can cut weight like 10 pounds in 2 hours, but sometimes right. Girls will cut 2 pounds in 2 hours, you know?
Right. Yeah, you're probably, I mean, no offense, and my wife would kill me if she ever heard me talking about weight with another woman, but you're probably not going to get down to like 105 or anything like that. Is that correct? I mean, looking at you on Google, I mean, you're pretty solid in that little frame. You know, you're probably not going to get much lower than you're at, right?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, you know, Delaney, you're short, you should go to 105, you know, blah blah blah. But honestly, I would prefer to be stronger, and I want to gain more weight. I want to be a solid 125. To cut to 115. I probably won't go to 105, because I kind of have my eyes set on a couple girls right now that are at 115, so, you know, that are in the pro division. So I kind of want to stay at 115. I like that weight.
Sure, and if it's working for you, you know, why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess, you know. So you're saying you'd go up before you'd ever go down, or you'd just kind of hang out at 115?
Oh, I definitely stay at 115. I wouldn't go out. I fought girls that are bigger than me, and, you know, I won, but it was still tough. I fought one girl that was actually 20 pounds heavier than me. That was a completely different fight. You know, that's not on my record or anything like that. That was terrible, but something like that kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth, you know, so you don't really want to be going against somebody that's so much bigger than you.
Sure.
It's not fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Delaney, listen, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to tell everybody where we can find you on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, whatever you got. Let everybody know where we can find you, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, just Delaney Owen. You can also look up Highlander MMA. You can Google it. I'm trying to remember my Twitter account. I can't remember off the top of my head. This is really bad.
That's okay.
But I do have a Twitter. You can look it up under Delaney Owen. It's like Little Scrappy or something like that, I think. That's terrible. I can't remember it. But also check out Brawl and Mall, definitely. So.
Okay. Any other sponsors you want to give a shout out to before I let you go?
Just Brawl and Mall.
Okay.
They're my main sponsor. So.
That's great. Delaney, best of luck to you. Can we get you back on after you win the title, and we can talk about you going to Invicta and going pro?
Yes, definitely.
Perfect. Okay,
Delaney. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Dude,
yeah,
I'm a fan.
Real quick, it's at ScrappyDL is how you can find her on Twitter.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of women's MMA. I got to say it. I'm going to say it. You guys are the first people to hear it. I'm a fan of women's MMA. I enjoy it. I mean, you know, you're talking about a girl who's 5 foot, 115 pounds, talking about rolling with the guys at her practice, liking the fight. I like it, man. You know, I like it. So, and she's on, she did, you know, one of these days, somebody's going to say, find me on Pinterest at, you know, Scrappy Cooks, Little Scrappy Cooks Chicken or something, you know, but... One of these days, someone's going to fire back a Pinterest at me, and I'm going to fall out of my chair. And I don't say it to be a dick. I say it because, I don't know, there's so many, like, social networking things out there that, you know, I don't know who uses what anymore. To be honest, I struggle using Facebook, so.
Right on, man. Whatever. Yeah, I mean, she's a beast, you know. She actually, like I said, she trains with Krista Marti a little bit. Krista Marti's out of Gator MMA. She's, you know, one of the people that just works constantly at Gator. One of my training partners, I roll with her quite a bit, and they roll together, and they'll train together every once in a while. And they met each other, I think, about a year ago at Copa or Naga or something like that. They actually faced each other. Delaney beat her. Krista gave her a run, worked her hard, but Delaney did win. And ever since then, they've been friends. They'll train together every now and then, and. I hear nothing but great things about Delaney. Like, you know, I've gotten to meet her, you know, I've met her a few months back and seen her a couple of times. You know, she's, like I said, her and Michael Giannis are out at the fights a lot. So she's an awesome girl, man. I can't wait to watch her fight. I wish I could see it live. I can't wait till the time comes when I do get to watch her fight live. But until then, I'll, you know, follow her as a fan and watch where her career goes. But, yeah, man, we're going to be going live here probably in less than about 15, 20 minutes with Michael Gattuso, the owner of Global Fighting Solutions, a sanctioning body throughout the state of Florida, and also the owner of the newly launched iCageFight.com. So just want to let anybody listen, you know, let everyone listening know we will open up the phone lines and let you call in and ask him questions. I myself have always wanted to ask questions to a member of a sanctioning body, ask them their point of view on certain things that we see in MMA, and I'm going to give you the same opportunity. So that number you can find on the link, but it is 310-742-1799. We will open up the phone lines probably at about 11:20, about 11:15, 11:20. We'll open the phone lines. We're going to bring him in, let him introduce himself, and then talk with him for a few minutes, and we'll open the phone lines for you to call in. If you want to call in and ask him a question, feel free to do it. In the meantime, you know, I have the pleasure of training with some pretty cool people out of Gator, and one of those people, you know, little Ethan Lionheart Blevins, kid's a champ. You know, we've talked to him a couple times. I talk about him a lot. You know, Jason gets to hear about him a lot, and anybody listening, you guys hear about him a lot too. But just the level of champion that this kid is just ridiculous. So the other day he's rolling around with a couple guys at the gym, a couple of the kids that come into the gym, and he kind of came down on his arm, and it hurt it a little bit, and never said anything about it. Just thought, okay, it was a little sore. He moved on, and you know, yesterday not so bad, wasn't bothering him too much. And then today he's rolling around. He taps out a kid twice his age. You know, Ethan, actually, since we're live on the radio right now, I do want to say happy birthday, Ethan. His birthday was yesterday. He just turned 8 years old. And, you know, he's just closer and closer to being on top of the MMA world. The older he gets, you know, people need to watch out. But I do want to say happy late birthday, Ethan. I hope you're feeling better, buddy. But I hope you enjoy the candy I brought you too. So, but anyway, so today's rolling around with a kid who's 13 years old. He taps him out, and then right away Daniel notices something. Daniel notices that Ethan's kind of grimacing. Looks like he might be in a little bit of pain. So, just to be preemptive and make sure everything's okay, he takes him up to the hospital. Just wants to get his arm looked at and make sure there's no problems with it. Come to find out, he's got a broken collarbone. They just found this out about an hour or so ago, and got a broken collarbone. Was in a lot of pain. You know, Daniel asked him, are you feeling all right? Are you in pain? And Ethan's kind of just, oh, I'm okay, not so bad. Come to find out, the kid's rolling around tapping kids out twice his age with a broken collarbone, and doesn't want to say that he's hurting simply because he doesn't want to have to sit out. He loves rolling. He loves practicing. And that's just the kind of the champ he is. You know, I felt so bad. I was running late. I was leaving the gym and trying to get back here, make sure I got back in time for the show. And I said, you know what? I had gone out and I asked him yesterday what his favorite candy was, which I don't know about your kids, Jason, but I don't know any kids that respond to that question with Tic Tacs. But, that was...
No, my kid, anything chocolate, pounds of chocolate if you want.
I said Tic Tacs. He said that. Well, that's what I said, isn't it? And I was like, all right, if you want Tic Tacs, it is Tic Tacs. What you get? I said, so what's your second favorite, man? Just in case. He said Kit Kat. So I went out. I got him some Kit Kats and Tic Tacs, and I was gonna give them to him at the gym. But since he wasn't there, I was feeling bad. I was like, man, he must be bumming out because he loves training so much, and he loves getting in and doing work, and he loves teaching as well. So I ran by the hospital and dropped it off to him. He was so excited. He was sitting there with a little sling on his arm, and he got so excited. And I said, can I have a piece of that Kit Kat bar? And he was like, oh, that's funny. Actually, bring me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. But he gave me a piece, and he said thank you very much. And I know he's probably bumming because he's not gonna be able to train for a couple weeks, but he'll be back. He was gonna be competing at COPA next week, but he can't do that. So he'll be ready to go by March 30th for the Grappling Championships. That's going to be for the kids at the next World Class Fight League event, which is being put on by Ralph Garcia and Dwayne Spire. So the kid's a beast, man. He's a champ. They don't call him Lionheart for no reason. So just thinking of that, we actually going to Jacob the Bull Brown, who we've talked to as well, and who you've heard a lot about through me. They're coming down to train at Gator MMA for a couple months. Their arrival is expected tonight or tomorrow. So very, very soon we'll have Jacob the Bull Brown and Ethan Lionheart Blevins training together for the next few months. Two of the top kids in the sport, in this nation, going to be training together and feeding off each other for the next few months. I don't think there's anything better for the future of the sport than when something like that can happen. So.
Yeah, man, and I hear you talking about Gator often, and I know they're very close to your heart, and they're very close to my heart, too. I've never even met them. I've talked to them. All seem like a great bunch of people doing a great thing up there. And just as a human being, you don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially a kid, especially someone that loves training someone. I mean, just the list goes on and on and on. I wish for a speedy recovery, and, of course, it stinks for him that he's not going to be able to fight at the COPA or at the gym for a couple weeks. So it'll heal. He's young. He stays away from it, and lets it heal now. He won't have any issues in the future. So and Kit Kat bars always seem to help me. I mean, I don't know. But no, that stinks, man. That definitely stinks.
Yeah, he's just such a, he's just a little champion, too. If it wasn't for that, just a Daniel noticing, like, him grimacing just a little bit, Ethan probably would have kept going, kept training, and kept tapping out kids half his age. So he's a little champion, a few weeks to recoup and feel better, and he'll be right back at it. Fortunately, Jacob Brown and his dad, Joe, they're going to be down here for a couple months, so they'll have plenty of time to train and roll together. In the meantime, I'll be looking forward to rolling with Jacob, too, because I know Jacob is a one tough kid, and I'm looking forward to even being able to learn from him. So I got to, pressing hard this last week. I'm competing next Saturday at COPA and COPA America. So putting in a hard week of rolling, hard week of training, trying to get lots of variety and diverseness into my rolling, just pretty much picking people at random, rolling with them, and trying to tap them out and trying to keep from getting tapped out. So I'm looking forward to Copa next week. We got a big team at Gator going over there to compete and looking to walk away with a bunch of wins. So.
Wait, you're competing next week?
Yes, sir. Next Saturday at Copa in Lakeland.
Why do they? Oh, I do remember this. I do remember. All right. All right. I was like, why do I not remember this? But I do. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, excited about it, and just ready to go in and win or lose, just getting out there for the first time, just going to just do my best and see how well that goes, see how far that takes me.
Are you a little nervous? I mean, let me get the behind the scenes here.
not really, not right now. I'm feeling a little nervous about, I'm going to have a lot of, my girlfriend's going to be there, a lot of my family's going to be there to watch, some friends, a lot of Gator. I know Daniel's. I've been really excited about me competing, and so I'm a little nervous about the fact of having a bunch of family and friends there to watch. But overall, I feel all right. I feel good about it. I've been doing a lot of training. I'm in there Monday through Friday at 2-3 hours at least a day, as much as I can, day in and day out, anyways. And I'm feeling all right. I feel my technique isn't great, but it's coming along, and I'm not really even worried about that my first time around. I'm going to go in the novice division, which is like before beginner, which I think is pretty much like a standard your first time competing. I'm not sure exactly how this works because I've never done or even been to grappling competitions before, but I've been to one, actually. I went to the Gator MMA grappling competition. That's actually how I met Daniel and the Gator crew, but outside of that, don't have much experience or knowledge of how this stuff works. So first time around, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to do the novice, and from there I'm going to move up every time I compete, next time around, next couple of tournaments, do the beginner and then intermediate, and then within a year I'd like to be competing in the expert division. So, but as far as right now goes, I'm not feeling nervous. Probably over this next week, I think I'll start to feel a little bit nervous, and the adrenaline and the butterflies probably take over the night before and the day of, but we'll see. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Once you get to the event, it's kind of like, there's not a whole lot much more. There's not a whole lot more you can do. You just go in and kind of, just it's muscle memory, and you just kind of go through the motions and just do the thing. So, I don't know, man. Leading up to the fight, I think I would be I would be wicked nervous. I'd be very uncomfortable. I wouldn't sleep well and things like that. But I think that the night before the event, I would be more relaxed and just chill. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I do want to make a correction real quick, because my girlfriend is secretly, like, quietly yelling at me in the background here. But when I said that I'm excited for my family and friends to be there to watch me, I did not intentionally mean to insult her by not saying also my girlfriend, the love of my life, to be there. So I'm extra excited that my girlfriend is going to be there to watch me compete. If I lose, she will probably make fun of me the entire drive back. If I win, I don't know. She'll probably be so surprised she might go into a meltdown. Who knows? But I am beyond excited that she is going to be there to watch me so I don't get in trouble and end up sleeping on the couch later.
Steak and eggs. If you win, steak and eggs all around.
Like I said a little bit ago, we're going to be opening up the phone lines probably about 11:20. We're going to be hooking up with Michael Gattuso at about 10 after, and about 10:15 after. Give him a chance to introduce himself, just get going with him, and then 5-10 minutes in, feel free to start calling in. You want to ask him questions, if you've ever wanted to ask a member of a sanctioning body questions, tonight's going to be your opportunity, because Michael Gattuso runs Global Fighting Solutions, which is in high demand all throughout the state. I see him at a lot of the fights I go to, and very busy guy. So, and he just kind of upped the ante and kind of just put on a whole new hit. We talk a lot on here about guys in this community and people, I shouldn't say guys, men and women in this sport that wear many different hats. And Michael's one of those guys. He runs the Global Fighting Solutions, and now he's going to be running iCageFight.com, which is a kind of a global database and ranking system fighters, promoters, events, judges, referees. It's a place for anybody in MMA to go to find out information. You go on there, you enter your information, you can have yourself ranked. It's just an awesome thing to do. So check it out. We'll be talking with him about that and see kind of what his goals and views are and what he wants to accomplish with that and stuff. So,
I think we can't, Matt, when he comes on, one of the first things we should ask him if we're going to save the integrity of our show, if we're going to be talking about, quality rankings and things like that, we need to rank. How do you pronounce your last name, Matt?
Gaither.
Okay. We need to rank Matthew Gaither as the number one grappler in the novice division. Let's just call a spade and let's make it happen tonight.
I don't know, man. That's flattering, bro. I appreciate it, but somehow I feel like I'm probably not even close. I'm sure there's people out there that are jumping in the novice division that have been doing it longer than I have. I've only been doing this about 5 months, so we'll see come next Saturday out in Lakeland. I think it's at Lake Gibson High School or something like that. It's gonna be an awesome day. I have to get out there super early, and you pretty much just hang around all day because the kids go first, and everybody else kind of just hangs out and waits. So we'll see how it goes. I definitely wouldn't say I'm probably the best out there, but
well, you know what, dude, you gotta walk before you can run. So I'll tell you what, you're way further ahead than a lot of people in the grappling world, because at least, you've started and you're on your way. So I wish you the best of luck, and I know we wish you the best of luck here at MMA Madhouse, and I expect to hear in a couple weeks on here, I expect to hear that we have a W and we have at least a medal or something that we brought home, and you had a nice steak and egg dinner. Yeah.
That would be nice. Yeah. I'll tell her, I said, you know what? London says that if I win, you got to make me a steak and egg dinner. I'd actually probably change it. It'd probably be steak and chicken wings, but,
I'm down with chicken wings. I'm from Buffalo, New York, brother. I love me some chicken wings, so I'm cool with that.
Right on, man. Once again, we just want to give shout-outs. We're going to be jumping in here, probably a pretty long interview. So before we do that, give shout-outs to our sponsors. As always, BrawlBase.com. CrossroaderClothing.com, GameChangerNow.com, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. Check out Future Fighters. Their magazine's coming out in April. It's going to be awesome. They're going to be putting together a lot of great stuff for the kids, for the champs of the sport. So check them out on FutureFighters.com, man. It's awesome what they're doing. And check out GatorMMA.com, man. GatorMMA is doing some great things. This fight card last weekend was just awesome for GatorMMA. We had a few of the guys, a couple guys that lost to our guys are actually going to start coming in, training with Gator, and they want to be part of what we're doing there. The last couple fights where Gator's been at, we've had guys come in from those fights wanting to join the gym and be part of what Gator's got going on. So if you got questions and want to know any information, hit up GatorMMA.com or Daniel Blevins on Facebook, or go like the Gator MMA Facebook page. It's $60 a month, no contract. If you're unhappy, just stop coming. Your hands aren't tied, but I guarantee you're not going to find anywhere as wholesome, as welcoming, and as open-minded as Gator. Very unorthodox, do things a little differently than a lot of gyms, but you get constant mat time in, constant training time, constant hands-on, being able to punish other people and really learn some awesome stuff, which you probably won't find at many other gyms. So check them out, GatorMMA.com. And, my co-host jumped in the queue there. We're going to be getting ready to go live with Michael Gattuso here very shortly. I'm going to be asking him lots of questions. Actually, with that said, we have him live. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Good.
First and foremost, kind of introduce yourself. Tell people a little bit about what you're doing as far with Global Fighting Solutions and with iCageFight.com.
All right. I'm with Global Fighting Solutions. So I've been sanctioned fights here for the last 3 years, and in the state of Florida, do amateur and kickboxing. And I've been doing this probably since the ban off of Florida.
And my next thing is I also wanted to introduce Global AFC International, which is I'm the owner, myself, Michael Gattuso, as president, and my partner, Brian O'Brien, who's the COO and CFO of the company. And what we've done is we basically we listened to the industry. We took notes, and we created a database and a ranking system that was needed in the industry. We saw that there was issues, there's problems, and we wanted to target those areas. And what we've created is not just a database for record keeping, but to try and structure and organize the industry. And what I mean by that is that we've taken everybody's ideas, from fighters to promoters to training schools, and we've gathered that information, and we create a system to where everyone can network. It's a combination of a little bit of everything, to where, you know, whether if you're a fighter, you can log in, you can register, you can find fights. If you're a promoter, you can add an event. If you're a manager, you can actually add fighters to your management, you know, to your group, to your profile. If you're a training school, you can network with the fighters. So it's kind of a little bit of to be able to network everyone under one organization. And the reason for it is that right now there's all kinds of issues that we're having with commissions, boxing commissions from different states. You know, currently I think Maryland is having some problems with suspending sanctioned bodies. I heard, matter of fact, I think just recently Alabama was having some problems with MMA Solutions and ISKA. And, you know, we're backing them. You know, we need those sanctioned bodies in those states. You know, if they lose those sanctioned bodies in those states, the state will take over. You know, they're ready to get ready to pass the bill. And what do we need? We need everybody's support. You know, that's why I created this database. I created this for the industry, for all of us to be able to get together and put our voice out there to try and fix these issues. So it's kind of a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, everybody does register. The fighters, if they register, it basically it ranks them. Everything's automated. The whole system is automated. The minute we write a fighter record, it goes through the point system. From the point system, it goes right into the rankings. So we got a pretty good system. It's pretty high tech, and we hope that everybody supports it, you know, and becomes part of it.
Right on, man. Now, with as far as the you know being a you know the owner of, and member of sanctioning body, you know, we got some rule changes getting ready to take place down here for the amateur MMA, you know. As a fan from the outside perspective, myself, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch Ground and Pound be instituted in the amateur mixed martial arts, you know, for the fighters that have under three fights. I think it's awesome. I think it's a step in the right direction.
Well, see, that's the thing, okay? You know, I was one of the first I took in ideas from, you know, other training schools. I can go on with names that actually helped me. Anytime I hear there's an issue, you know, we come up with a solution, we present it to the Florida Boxing Commission, and we push it to happen. You know, the Ground and Pound needed to happen. The only problem is we needed to take the 10-8 count out for it to happen, you know. But see, in a situation like this is, you know, when we lose the sanction bodies, okay, with the sanction bodies, we take the ideas that are within that industry, and we create, you know, a proposal and say, hey, you know, we need to change this rule. If the commission steps in and there's no sanction bodies, it's going to stop us from changing those rules. And I don't think the industry understands that. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing with this database, and hopefully it comes across to those people, you know. Even with the insurance, you know, a lot of times you have deductibles of $5,000, you know, and sometimes the promoter doesn't have the money to pay the $5,000. Does the fighter, they can sometimes afford the blood work. You know, so by lowering that $5,000 deductible to $500, it's helping the fighter out. I mean, there's a lot of changes that need to be made, and it takes not just one person, but it takes an army to make these changes. Everybody's support and come up with these changes. I mean, there's only so many changes that I know, but I guarantee you talk to every person out there, they'll say, hey, you know, we need to change this, or we need to change this. But, you know, if we can't communicate in this industry, we don't know that these changes need to be done, you know. Just like the network, you know, with the network that we have, we want everybody to get along. You know, we want to know who the top-ranked fighter in the state of Florida is. How do we know who the top middleweight fighter in Florida is? I can't tell you. I know who the fighters are. You know, I know some fighters here in Miami. I don't go to every event. But can you tell me who the middleweight fighter in Florida is, the top? We don't. That's what the ranking system is put in place for amateurs and for pros, to find out who these top fighters are. But, I mean, this is so much. I can go on and on and on. It's just there's more to this than what you see on the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what is your opinion, like, when it comes to Oregon, the state of Oregon, the commission up there for a while? I don't know if it was overturned. I'm not sure of what the rule is today. But they had put in a rule not long ago where any fighter who lost four fights in a row could automatically not fight in that anymore. Now, I'm being told it was overturned and that rule is, in fact, not in place anymore. But, I mean, what's your opinion kind of on that matter? If a fighter loses four in a row, should they be...
I think it's crazy. I really think it's crazy because, you know what, I've seen fighters that have fought, you know, taken four straight losses, and they've turned their career around by, you know, getting more trained. Sometimes, you know, you learn from, hopefully these fighters learn from their mistakes. You know, you go back and, you know, you start training on your weaknesses. And sometimes it might take four fights. I think that's a really big mistake. I think they're concentrating on the wrong thing, you know, and I think they need to start concentrating more on this illegal fight and things that are not being done the proper way. And that fighter that might have, and I guess he might have to go to different stages as a solution for that, but I think what they're doing is wrong.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Now, and just to state, I am told that it was that the rule was overturned. I know they had a big ordeal about it up there just in the last couple months. But now I have opinions on some of the other rules that we have down here as far as amateur MMA. Since I've been doing this, I've been to a lot of the amateur events. We see each other quite a bit. I get out to a lot of the fights throughout here in the Tampa area and try to get out to some. I try to branch out as much as I can, but what is your take on something like shin guards?
Shin guards, I think right now, has for amateurs, it's hated. I wouldn't do away with it. It's, you know, I can, even the headgear, you know, I would always, as amateurs, you know, consider this, you know, when they come in for the first fight, they're stepping in front of the ring, even though they have, you know, great martial art experience background, the shin guards are still needed. You know, I think you still need that protection. I don't think these amateurs should be getting banged up as much as they should. You know, I mean, we're going to ground and pound, and the only reason that the ground and pound isn't effective, and, you know, and this goes back to Mike Hannes, that actually had made the suggestion is to do five fights before he can actually go down the ground and pound. And I agreed to that. You know, they came back and he said three fights. I think it's kind of crazy, you know. I don't think these amateurs are, we're supposed to be building their career for them, helping them, guiding them to, whether it's the training, whether it's just to fight in the right organization, and eventually, you know, to get them the pro. And I think eliminating any type of shin guard, I think the shin guards is, we need that right now. You know, we don't need any more damage to these fighters. We want to get them to pro, you know, but they have to take those steps to get there, you know, and just like headgear, you know, I'm surprised in Florida there is no headgear, you know, but, you know, it's, you have to be able to experience it. If you're going to be in this sport, it's an extreme sport, you have to be able to handle the shots, you know. But I still say to agree with the shin guards. I think it's definitely some type of equipment we currently need for these amateurs.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, Michael. I'm born and raised in Buffalo, New York. Right now there's this big legislation going on, and I don't know, like, where you branch out and how far you reach out to other states. But what is the sticking point? Do you know anything on the sticking point in MMA in New York? I know we're down in Florida. I live right here in Cape Coral. Do you know the sticking point up in New York for MMA? What hurdles do they need to cross? How can they kind of ease into it as far as MMA, that kind of thing? Can you shed a little light on how to get a program started?
And this is where I'm going to go back to this again. I hate to go back to this, but it's all about network, okay? And the reason I say, you know, and I'm going to bring this database up again, okay?
Sure.
When I sat down, I had a meeting with the Association of Boxing Commission, okay, Tim Lukanoff, and the whole thing was we needed to bring some structure and organization, okay? He had brought up to me the fact of, what about Michigan? Michigan is an unsanctioned state, you know? They can do whatever they want. They don't need doctors sitting in the event. They don't need EMS. And you know what? we need, when we organize ourselves, okay, which that's hopefully we're going to get in this process, you know, by people being able to register and join in this database. And once we get more organized, we can go to states like New York. We can go to states like Michigan. And guess what? We can dictate what needs to be done. Because when you have the power of the people behind you, and this came out of the same, you know, through the Boxer Commission, when we have the power of the people behind us and we say, hey, you know what? We have the whole entire network of the United States, you know, promoters, training schools, and we feel that we need to put a sanction body in New York, or we feel we need to change this law, this rule, this regulation. They have no choice but to change it. It's just like when you take a vote. If you vote, you know, if you have 100 votes, you know, yes towards this, and 100 votes of no towards this, you know, when we have everybody supporting us, the whole entire industry, they're going to have to follow us. We're going to take the lead. You know, sure. Can we fix New York? Absolutely. Can we go to Michigan and we set up sanction bodies? Of course we can. They're going to have to follow our lead. We're sure. The ones that are creating this industry. It's the trainers, the fighters, the promoters that make this industry. Without us, there is no industry. There is no MMA.
Yeah. Let me ask just a follow-up question to that. Now, I know there's boxing in New York. Is it because it's grandfathered in that MMA is not available up there? Or how does that work that if you're saying
because boxing's been around. Boxing's been around for such a long time. Yes, it has been grandfathered. Mixed martial arts, when Dana White had brought it up 3 years ago, he introduced it to the space, and people were kind of, we're actually even told today, you know, some people who see it think that it's not a very good sport to be in, you know, because of the bodily harm and, you know, the injuries that can happen. But
sure.
Because it's such an aggressive and extreme sport, people intend to backstep it. You know, they don't understand that these are professional, you know, martial art people. You know, boxers, yeah, they do train, but they haven't gotten the whole concept yet, you know. And I think now it's on actually a national TV. I don't want to mention the network, but it's on national TV now. I think the more it gets out and the more that people understand it, these are just not fighters that are off the street. These are fighters that have trained their whole entire lives. And the more it gets familiar, you know, you can remember, this is still the birth of MMA. You know, we're still in the infancy stage. And it's going to take a while for people to get used to it and understand it. I mean, hopefully now being on a national TV network, people see it. You know, people see it and understand it, and eventually New York's going to agree to it. Everybody's going to agree to it. It's not going to be for long that you're going to see it in the Olympics. I'm surprised it took wrestling now, and that's crazy. But soon you're going to see MMA.
Yep. Yep.
And,
I appreciate that because, you know, I love New York. I have family and everything up there, and I think it could – I'm from Buffalo, the worst part of it. So, you know, I think they could drive money in – I think it could be economically beneficial for everybody in the state. Michael, we have a caller. Skip, we'd like to ask you a few questions. Are you okay with taking some caller questions?
I'm always available. Go ahead. Shoot.
Perfect. Skip, go ahead.
How you doing tonight? I've been listening. I got a couple questions and maybe an observation. One – MMA in New York is a problem for pros. Amateur events still go on there.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people out there don't understand that. So maybe that's something, you know, some people should understand. This is a pro deal, not an amateur deal with the banning in New York. But my question is, with your record keeping and everything, how do reservation fights work? Because I know here on the West Coast where I'm located, and especially in some areas in the Midwest, including King of the Cage, all their fights are on reservations. So how does that work? Because that's a non-sanctioned event,
well,
and you can't. That's an independent nation.
Yeah, let me address that one, okay?
Yep.
Basically, this is the thing. On a reservation, they have their own government rules, okay? There is no – the Boxing Commission in every state, if any time it's a reservation, they cannot dictate to the Indians – how to do something, what to do. They have their own rules. If they say, hey, you know what, we're going to allow this, they can allow that. and this is what's happened. There's a lot of these organizations that, you know, before, like Florida, you know, before Vernon Town finally was made legal, you can go down to the Seminole Casino where they hold fights, and guess what? You're going to see ground is down. The Florida Boxing Commission cannot go in on their territory and tell them what to do. In Connecticut, same thing. You have, I can't think of the name right now, the big casino up there. They can do whatever they want. You know, New York is no, I don't think there's any reservations in New York, but if there was, they'd be holding fights there. So it's the whole and what the bad thing about, and it's actually bad, it's not really a good thing, because what's happening, these fighters, they want to, you know, try to ground and pound. So they go to these events that are at the Indian reservations, but you know what? It's not being done properly. It's not being supervised the proper way. They don't, you know, they might not have the proper doctors. They might not have the EMS sitting there waiting. So if a fighter gets hurt, pretty much food. And you know what? And you've signed a waiver saying, you know what, if I have any injuries, it's my responsibility, my liability. So it's not really a good thing. What we need to do is we need to, the rules and regulations need to really be ironed out. There's still not, I mean, we still need to make a lot of changes towards the good of the fighter. This is all about the fighter, okay? Once these changes are made and we can be presented to any state, they would follow it, you know? I mean, right now we're still, I mean, we're talking about how many years of this MMA been around, you know? Until we start seeing the results of some of these fighters of injuries, okay? We haven't even seen some of these injuries yet. You got to remember, you know, what's it been, maybe 10 years, if that? Once we start seeing some of the brain injuries, we're going to say, hey, you know what, man, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, maybe, guess what, maybe the fighters, you know, the amateur fighters, maybe we should go to headgear. We haven't been in that situation yet. We're not going to find out probably for another 5 to 10 years, if not longer. When we start sending these things out, we're going to see more rules go into effect, more stricter rules. Right now, we're in a beta testing stage, is what I call it. But, you know, hopefully, you know, some of these fighters, you know, that they're able to defend themselves, and, you know, and I God bless every fighter. Hopefully they don't get hurt to a position to where they have any kind of, I mean, there's already been a couple of deaths here. I've heard, I think I want to say one was in Ohio or Indiana, that the fighter had fought, and he got knocked out. Next thing you know, he's in the audience, you know, watching the rest of the fights, and he ends up dying right there in the stadium, right there watching the fight, you know, from a,
yeah,
from a brain hemorrhage.
That was in Pennsylvania. And you know, back to the base of the question is, with your database, how are you going to be able to verify records with smokers and with reservation fights? Because both of those are non-sanctioned events, and a lot of them aren't registered. So, you know, with promotions being able to come in here and look at fighters on your database, what's your security system to make sure that these records are legit, so that we're not putting a guy who's actually 16-2 and against a guy who's 3-0.
And you're right again. You know, and that actually, I had a good conversation with Paul Dominich from MMA Solutions regarding this, and he's like, you know what, you have to be able to count the fight. How can we try and find these fights? You know, the whole thing is it's about honesty. Okay, my whole thing is, what I've done is, a lot of times you have these independent fighters that have done a lot of these backyard fights. Those are the ones that, that's experience, okay? If you've wrestled in high school, it's considered experience. But the only thing is, it's there's some records that we can't pull out. The only way we can pull it out is if they're training school. Now, my thing is, the database is designed that independent fighters cannot add themselves to a fight card, okay? They have to be either under a manager has a fight card, or a trainer has to add them to a fight card. So I'm taking the liability to the training school. So hopefully, I mean, it's going to be a big mess to clean up. Even, you know, if you go to the other website, there's a couple out there that, you know, you pull up the records, and even those records aren't correct. You're never going to really find true records. Now, anything that's current in this database, anything that happens current from today forward, it's going to be accurate. Okay? It's going to be tracked. Your profile is going to be tracked with your name, date of birth, and your IP address. If you try to come in under a different name, it's going to catch you. And it's going to bang you. Okay, so we have restricted way to, you know, if they're trying to change the record, they can't change the record. They're not allowed to put the record in a database. We do all the research. We're going to verify the record. If we have to deal with other sanctioned bodies, Florida Boxing Commission, or whoever it is to get this information, that's what we're going to do. When we put that information in the system, nobody can touch it, nobody can change it. When the results come in an event, automatically the results go straight to the fighter's record. From the record, it generates the points. From the points, it goes into the ranking. Everything's automated. The only thing is going backtracking and trying to get the past records. That is a hard thing to do. I mean, we're working very hard to get these records. Now, are they all going to be perfectly correct? Probably not. You know, the ones that happen in the reservation, you know, they're like, they're not sanctioned. No Florida Boxing Commission. Can we go off of? Okay, can we contact the promoter? Yeah, we can contact the promoter. Does he remember if he kept track of his records? More likely he didn't keep track of any records. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's true, and that's a problem that we have up here. You know, you get, with the Pacific Northwest region is what we're gonna, I'm going to kind of use as an example right now, with Washington, Oregon, and Northern California as being that regional area. With promoters, we have a problem up here. A lot of them, even if they did take part of your program, they're not going to take the time to list results. We know one promoter personally. He's put over 50 events on in 6-7 years, never once registered blood work or registered fight results for any of his events. And how are you going to, and this is, and none of this is to diminish what you're doing, because I believe what you're doing is pretty cool. But I'm just trying to, you know, from somebody in a media standpoint, I'm trying to look at all aspects. And something that you're going to run into is you got guys out there who only care about making money. How are you going, you know, that's going to be an issue that you're going to have to control somehow with this system. And I'm just curious how you're going to address that, because if a guy decides to step back and do a smoker in his gym, which is legal under law in, let's say, Washington, how are you going to use those fights? Because they're not ranked, they're not listed. You know, these are maybe quote-unquote exhibition matches in some cases. So I'm just curious, how does that work?
We got solutions. We got solutions, okay? And this is how we go forward with it, okay? The question too is, you know, just like you have something, you know, a thing happened, I don't know, a week or two ago. I don't know if you heard about it. Some pro fighter, he decided to do a backyard fight, and he needs to be suspended, okay? Now, does he need to be kicked out? I wouldn't say kicked out. You know what? I'm giving him a 30-day suspension, 60-day suspension. Set an example, you know? Now, we can, the database, okay, because we're independently owned, okay? Until we get endorsed and approved by the Association of Boxing Commission, which that's our next thing, because we're also going to add kickboxing and boxing as well to it. We want to be able to do the whole sport thing. What we have the ability to do at this point is suspend fighters, okay? And not only medical, you know, for medical purposes, if he gets knocked out, we can put a duration of time that he's suspended. Once he's suspended, he cannot be added to a fight card. He still has his profile. He can still go in there. He's just going to be suspended. Now, if we come across records and we do find out that, what, he did have an extra 2 to 3 fights that we weren't aware of, and we find out, guess what? We have the power to suspend them, and we have the power to suspend them with cause.
Now, you know that with that suspension in your state, you've suspended him, pro or amateur, in every state.
That's the whole thing. That's the power of the new.
So how do you get your commission on board to regulate? I'm curious, because we have a very stubborn commission here. So how did you get a commission on board to back you on this and help regulate this?
It's not – this is – okay, this is what it's coming to, okay? Whether it's the Florida Box Commission or whatever commission is from whatever state, okay? Although AFC International will not be dictated on who you can suspend and not suspend. This is a system that's independent for independent fighters for them to use, be able to find fights for promoters to – event and so forth, okay? Taking the step for them, okay? There's a lot of fighters that need to be suspended at this point, whether they've been knocked out, and you know what? They slip right through the crack. The boxing commissions are not doing their job. So in this case, we're stepping forward. We're going to do the job for them. And if we have to fight this in court or whatever, wherever this gets us, we're going to make sure that this industry is run the proper way. We want to bring professionalism and integrity into the sport. And the only way it's going to happen is with everybody's support. Everybody joins the database, it gives us the power. I'm not saying that I'm going to control this thing. No, it's going to control the industry. The promoters, the trainers, and anybody that's involved, their voices, all I'm doing is I'm taking their ideas and their opinions, and I'm going to come up with a solution. And the solution now is that, you know what, nobody wants to do their job. We're gonna force everybody to do their job. This database is going to force you to enter the results. And guess what? Even the sanction bodies, if you don't want to enter the results, we'll suspend you. You don't want to turn around and upload your blowout to make sure you have current blowout? You can't get on a fight card. So I'm pushing for people to do their jobs, whether it's the fighters, whether it's the training schools, everybody do their part. I can do this by myself. I play this, I build a platform, okay? Now we need to build the platform. You see where I'm coming from? Do we have the power to defend fighters? I mean, it's, of course we do.
Now, well, and I totally understand if you register a fighter suspended through a commission, he's going to be suspended theoretically in every jurisdition that's state run.
We'll definitely grant that. Of course we would.
Now,
but if
my question behind this is, and once again, playing devil's advocate on this, at what point are you hurting a guy's professional career and income because you guys maybe chose a rule that's not in his state?
Okay, but let me make a point to you. Okay, you're saying we're harming the pro, either amateur or pro, but you know what? Right now, there's maybe one ranking system that the UFC is using, okay? No pro fighter, amateur fighter in the United States is being ranked, okay? That's a pro fighter, okay? You might not even know who he is. He's probably, would you say the UFC has the best fighters in the world? Absolutely not. There's fighters out there that will probably destroy some of those fighters in the UFC. What we're doing to these fighters, whether they're amateur or pro, we're bringing them to the top of the ranking where they can be seen. We're going to create for them. We're going to create, okay? That's the whole point. We have to keep some kind of discipline in place. That's my whole thing. If we don't have the discipline in place, there's not going to be professionalism. You know what? I had a fighter tell me, you know what? Sanctioned bodies are a joke. Why? Because we don't have the support of the boxing commission, okay? To me, that's being disrespectful, okay? A fighter, being on the fight card and, 2 days before the fight says, hey, I can't show up. Let's disrespect the sport. Let's promote. Let's put so much money on the line to throw an event. And guess what? Might have been a title fight. We don't know. That's why I'm a promoter. So guess what? There has to be somebody to set the rules and discipline, whether it's the fighters, the promoters. Something has to be in place. Or if not, there's not going to be any professionalism or integrity in the sport. It won't. It won't be. At the same time, we want to give the fighters the chance to be seen by different promoters in different big organizations. We got to pull them to the rankings. The minute that they register and they jump to the top of the state rankings or they jump to the top national rankings, they're going to see who it is. We're going to see who's the best of the best. That's what I'm trying to do here. If we don't know who the best of the best is, how can we say that the guy that's in Texas is the best fighter, the best heavyweight fighter? Because we don't know that. How can we say that so-and-so is the best top fighter in Florida? We don't know that. Until they register and they get ranked in the system, we're going to know who is the best of the best. And at that point, you know what? We can set up fights, title fights, state title fights. We can do it to the point of create some type of following. Just like you have the Miami Dolphins. If you lose the quarterback, you can stop following the Dolphins? Of course not. You're going to follow Dolphins because it's the pride of the state. We want to create the same drive here. We want people in every state to follow those fighters who are top-ranked and say, hey, you know what? The top-ranked fighter in Georgia is going to be fine, the top-ranked fighter in Alabama. We want to see this fight. We want to create that. We want to – the competitive drive of these fans is not there right now, okay? If you go to an amateur event or even a pro event, okay, I've seen some amateur events that are even better than pro events. If I don't recognize that fighter, does it mean anything to me? You think I'm going to pay $50? Maybe, unless I know somebody. But you know what? Anybody who goes to these events are family and friends, okay? We need to get more fans, okay? The fans, we're lacking. The fans go to these fights that are the big organizations. Why? Because they've seen their faces. That's why the UFC keeps pulling some of these old fighters from back in the past back, current, because they know that people recognize them. People recognize the face. Oh, my God, I got to go see this guy fight again. This is what it's all about, image.
And I agree with you a lot on this. And, once again, so how do you convince a promoter to spend more money to sanction his event, than an unsanctioned event, maybe on a reservation, or a smoker in a gym? How do you convince these guys to go and pay more to put on an event so that it's a sanctioned event so that it can be registered with you and through the service?
Because the reason why is this, okay? Either you're part of the database and you're part of the network, okay? If you're not part of the network, obviously you know, we consider those scabs. You know, do you want to do things the wrong way? We don't want those type of people. We're trying to let the I don't want to say the word for it, the ship to float down the river, and we want to get people that are actually dedicating themselves and putting nice shows. We want those guys to come to the top. We want to know who those people are. And, you know, those type of people, guess what? We put them under. And, you know, eventually, sooner or later, we will push some laws. We try to change the regulations for that stuff to stop. We force the fighters to fight in those events. And if, you know, if it's because they're ground and pound, it might not be allowed. Guess what? We'll change the laws to allow ground and pound. So guess what? They fight for the organizations that are doing things the right way. Let them recognize that not having a proper doctor or the EMS or, you know, something happens to you, there's nobody there to give you some type of medical help. So the things that, you know, these fighters, a lot of these fighters are eager to get to the pros. You know, they try to get their five fights in, but they don't realize that, you know, the minute that something happens, whether it's a broken elbow, whether it's a broken knee, whether it's a concussion, the damage that it's creating to them, you know, and until he finally that gets to them and it happens to them, they don't realize that how bad of a mistake they made by fighting for that type of organization that was on a reservation and didn't have the proper rules and regulations that they were following. So that's, again, part of the database is going to try to regulate that.
Now, okay, and that makes sense. Now, on a different level of regulation, I think Matthew or London had touched on it earlier, some states require shin pads for amateurs. Some states have more of a pancreas-style, you know, system with three levels, and some states have nothing. So, in your opinion, which regulation should it be across the board?
What I think should happen is, you know, I think once we all get a little bit better organized, what I think should happen is it should be one way all the way across the board. You know, if this is the sport, okay, you know, just like I'm going to, for example, football, okay, every college football team plays the same way, wear the same uniforms, wear the same thing. It's not any different. Why should these fighters fight any different without the shin guards or some ground and pound, some not ground and pound? Some are getting more different experience than others, okay? We're taking away certain things from these fighters than we shouldn't be. It should be one way across the whole United States. That's it, bottom line. Any sport. Every sport the same way. I don't see different sports. You know, one guy, maybe soccer. One guy plays with cleats, the other guy plays with sneakers. We don't see that. Everybody plays with cleats. If you're playing indoors, then you play with the regular shoes. But every sport should be the same. Right now, this industry is so disorganized, okay? And the bigger organizations, you know, especially the larger one, you know what I'm talking about, hey, I don't think they really care too much of what's going on in the industry because they're benefiting off the pay-per-views and so forth. But the smaller organizations, those are the ones that are hurt right now. And let me tell you something. I'm very impressed, and I want to congratulate all these amateur promoters and pro promoters that continue to throw these events and keep these fighters going, because well, for them, there wouldn't be any shows. But it's tough. It's tough, man. We need organization, man. I don't know how many times I'm going to say this. This database will organize everything. If people would start registering and joining, the quicker that they join and we start creating an alliance, the stronger we become, and we can control the industry ourselves, not dictate to what these people, you know, the commissioners or whoever it is, want us to run it, you know? We need to set our own rules. We're the people of the industry. If it wasn't for us, this industry wouldn't exist, you know? But it should be, like I said, it should be one way all the way across the board. If everybody's going to wear shin guards, then everybody needs to wear shin guards. Not just one state, not just the other state. Everybody needs to wear shin guards. Everything should be the same all across the board. When changes made, it should be made all the way across the board.
Well, I agree that there should be some kind of standard regulations, and you know, obviously some states like ours have adopted the ABC boxing rule and tried to adapt to the mixed martial arts, and that hasn't been super successful. But once again, I'm just trying to play devil advocate because you know I'm media from you know another part of the country, and I'm just trying to learn more about your product and your services. And you know, I will point out that I kind of disagree with the last statement that not enough big companies out there are promoting local and amateur MMA because, you know, you're seeing it with Bellator, you know, you're seeing it with Legacy, you know, you're seeing it, you know, with bigger, you know, organizations that are maybe medium-sized like Show Fights and Showdown Fights, a couple of organizations that are consistently, you know, putting on pro and amateur cards and, you know, having even amateur leagues, you know, secondary to their main cards. I think we're seeing it grow at the rate we need it to? No, I agree with you there that we don't have the growth we need in the sport at the local level. I do think you're right that the Zuffa Corporation doesn't per se care that much publicly about amateur MMA, but I think right now that amateur MMA in a lot of states is hurting, but I feel that there's quite a few states that it's thriving at. And, you know, what states that are thriving outside of your region have you guys focused on as maybe, you know, using for an example of some of their rules and structure?
Well, I know that California, California seems to be a little bit more organized, and the reason why is in Nevada as well. You know, it's usually the bigger states that have a bigger population, you know, they thrive in entertainment, obviously, you know. You have bigger training schools. I think there's a pretty big training school out of California. I can't remember the name, something, whatever it is, but they have quite a few fighters, you know. I would say probably a couple of hundred fighters that are under this organization, you know. And what I think is that because we are still at the infancy stage, okay, these issues can be addressed right now. The longer we let these issues go, the more everybody is becoming apart, okay? Now, the ones that are benefiting, you know, like you said, Bellator and so forth, those are the ones that are benefiting, you know, they've gotten some of the old fighters. Again, let me go back to image, okay? It's all about having an image and who the fighters who are recognized, you know, that go to these different organizations. You know, Bellator has pulled a lot of fighters from UFC, you know, they pulled some fighters from Strikeforce, you know, and it's about the faces that they see that they recognize is why they're making money, okay? You know, would you go to a fight that you don't recognize anybody on that card? Yeah, you know what, the fights might be good, but if you don't recognize anybody, is it really worth your while? To me, it isn't. You know, if I go watch a fight, it's going to be because my buddy's fighting or somebody that I know is fighting. In all reality, I wouldn't be spending that type of money. But California seems to have a good population. People like, you know, they like that kind of sport. You know, New York, for example. Once New York now is moving in that direction, whoever promotes New York is going to make good money. The first bird to the worm is going to get it. You know what I mean? People want to see something new. They have the chance to see it right there in their own state, and they're going to see it. They're going to go to it. Nevada, you know, you got Tough Enough. You have quite a few different organizations over there, and they do good, you know. It's really tough in this industry, you know, and I'm talking from, I used to be an amateur promoter myself, and it's really tough to make money. You know, if you love the sport and you have a passion for it and you really don't concentrate about the money, it's work quality, you know. I love seeing, you know, new amateurs starting, you know, that never fought before and watching them move to their amateur career into the pro, and it's a good feeling, very good feeling. The database, guess what? It's free access. I'm not charging people. I'm not trying to make money right now. You know where I make my money? Through the advertising. You know what? You want to advertise your event poster? Okay, go ahead. You know, I'm going to charge you a little bit for this. Or if you have blood work amounts the same price, I'm just getting a commission out of it, you know? So to me, I just want enough money to be able to cover the servers, you know, and developer, the IT guy. And that's what it's about. If I wanted to, I could charge $10, $5 a month, whatever the MMA.TV charges or whoever, you know. The whole thing is it's the passion. And if you really have a passion for the sport and you really want to help the sport, join the database. I keep.com, man. That's all I'm going to keep telling you.
I'm just curious off a subject question. What's an average event cost for you to put on down there? Because you said you were a promoter. I'm just curious what the range is.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I used to be with Amateur Fight Nation, okay? And we were probably, as soon as the ban was lifted, we were probably one of the close to the first in Florida to throw an event, and we wanted to make sure that the event was the best quality event ever. We kind of went a little bit overboard, and we spent probably on a range between $15,000 to $20,000. But that you're talking about the full blown out cage with the catwalk, with the smoke machine, with the laser lights, with the projection screens, the way you can actually watch the fight on the screen. So we kind of went a little bit overboard. On a normal fight, you're still probably looking at a close, you know, between at least $10,000, I would say. You know, and then that's a fair price, you know, paying the sanction fees for your cage rentals, your insurance, and, you know,
that provided your state officials?
What's that?
That provided your state officials as well?
Right, right, right. That's for an amateur event. At least the minimum,
okay.
I'd say, 10,000, and that's for a pretty decent show. You know what I mean? I mean, you can really start cutting some costs and maybe bring it down to like 7, but you know what? You know, you lose the quality.
What,
you know, the minimum, I'd say, 10 grand.
What was your points to the state? Was it a dollar ticket, 6% total sales? What was your bill there?
Well, on the amateur side, right now there is no any percentage that you're paying to the commission. It's only on the
okay.
pro, and that's the problem that they're having right now. Was that a lot of these pro shows they couldn't show enough money being made, and that's why something happened. I'm not going to mention any names why it happened, but so forth. But it wasn't being properly calculated.
Well, hey, I want to tell you thank you for taking my calls. You know, us in the media around the country, we find what you're doing interesting. I just kind of wanted to call you up and, you know, play devil's advocate because there's a lot of questions floating around that, you know, we've been asking ourselves about it since we've heard about it. So I appreciate you guys at Full Guard Fire Radio, Jason London, you know, Matthew. I appreciate both you guys giving me the time to come on the show tonight. I'll let you guys have your guests back. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and hope to see you do good things, Michael.
I'm trying, man. Just hey, keep in mind, it's iCageFight.com.
All right, man. We Mike, thanks for being on with us tonight. It was a great, great interview, man. It's something that I know fans everywhere want to hear and want to know about. So it was very, it was a great pleasure getting an interview. Somebody with your knowledge and with all that you're involved in, man. So once again, like you said, just said iCageFight.com is where you can go. And Michael, man, thanks for being with us tonight, man. And I'm sure I'll see you around.
No, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you.
Hey, man, have a good night.
You too.
Right on, man. So for anybody wondering, you know, we're sorry that caller got through. We thought we blocked that guy weeks ago, but. He must be calling us from new phone numbers every week or something in order to sneak through our security devices. So we'll try our best not to let that happen again, let these outrageous people call in. I'm just kidding, of course. That was none other than the Mr. Skippy Cohen, the vice president here at MMA Madhouse, a guy who's just got such a great knowledge himself. And it's an honor to always be associated with him and to see him getting in here and getting to call in and ask some questions and stuff. You know, I do want to say, Jason, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here, but I was just thanking some of our guests, and, you know, I was just talking to Skippy off the air a little bit, and, you know, just thank him for coming on, and you know, to be honest, I appreciate Michael being as open and as honest as he was, and Skippy asked kind of a tough question. You know, Michael is starting this new program off, and you know, there's definitely some questions. Skippy brought up a great point. How are you gonna maintain the integrity of the program if you know these guys can have a fight in their backyard? You could fight 100 times in a week if you wanted to, and then say you're you know whatever. But you know the long and short of it, I again grew up in New York, and Skippy's absolutely right. It's all about professional MMA up there, and we do have reservations up there, and you know we do have fights on. Raging Wolf, there's a Raging Wolf, I don't know if they're still around, but Raging Wolf, he's putting on fights all the time. So, you know, Skippy nailed it right on the head that how are you going to keep the integrity of this? And I appreciate Michael being as candid as he was. And, you know, that was a great interview to listen to, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't chime in, but I gained a ton of knowledge, you know, from just listening to those two back and forth. So it was very interesting to me, and I appreciate our guests there.
There were times when I wanted to jump in as well, but I just Skippy was doing a great job, and there was great conversation going on between Skippy and Michael. I really feel like what we just experienced here on Full Guard Fight Radio was in itself progression of the sport. I thought it was a fantastic thing for the sport of MMA, and just an honor to have here on our radio show. We do have to kind of put that aside real quick, though, and address a serious issue here. I do want to have a quick... question and answer session with my coworker, my co-host here, Jason. I just got to know, man, what has come over you that, you know, we get the president of our website calling in and you're just denying him the chance to get on the air and talk with some of our guests, man. I mean, I just don't know what the reason for that is.
Well, let me just be very honest with you. The guy can come on his radio show anytime he wants to, okay? This is my time. I get 2 hours a week to be on our radio show, and I'm not going to have it. So, you know, call back another time. Call back tomorrow.
Yeah, man, I don't know. He might shut us down. He's pretty pissed. He's talking to me behind the scenes here, and he's pretty upset. This might be it for us.
Well, you tell him, and I hope he's listening, that you know, I'm tired of being at his beck and call, you know. And,
hey, we're done with it, right?
And disrupt my radio show, I'm not going to have it.
Hey, this isn't the Pacific Northwest. This is Florida. We run it down here.
I didn't even, to be honest with you, I was on Twitter and I was farting around and tweeting and doing some stuff, and I didn't even notice. And when I came back after the interview was wrapped up, I came back and I saw his number, and he was hanging up, and I was like, "Damn, I think it was Carl." So, I didn't do it maliciously. So.
Hey, we got to take a stand, right? He helped us get started. He helped us get going down here. But you know what? Ultimately, MMA Madhouse in Florida. Runs through you and I, and those guys sitting up there in their cozy cold weather, man, they have nothing to do with Florida down here. We're the ones that are progressing MMA Madhouse throughout this part of the country. So
in their cushy offices up there and whatnot, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like he was like our father at the beginning. You know, he gave us the tools, and you know, you can lead a horse to water. You can't think I drink. Well, listen, I'm thirsty and I'm drinking all over the place. All right, so get off.
Yeah, exactly right, man. I see those pictures that Skippy's posting of the Madhouse Studios up there, man. These guys, they got it easy. They're not roughing it like us, you know. We're broadcasting out of our living rooms and out of our girlfriend's workspace here, you know. We're roughing it down here, and we're the ones working hard while they're just taking it easy, sitting cozy in their big comfy seats. So, you know what? Forget them, man. This is our town.
No, I didn't do it maliciously, and I apologize to him. But no, anytime he wants to come on, I really enjoyed listening to Skippy and Michael talk. And again, I appreciate
definitely.
You know, I appreciate the banter back and forth and the openness and the candidness. And I think you know, Michael wasn't prepared 100% to answer those questions. I think he came on and he was just going to kind of, because he was very. What's the word I'm looking for? Reserved when he first started talking with us, and then when Skippy kind of brought that to his attention, he kind of got a little pep in his step, and they had a nice little chat.
Yeah.
So it was good to listen.
No, it's always an honor listening to Skippy. I got a lot of respect for the dude. I love the fact that he's open, he's honest, and he's straightforward with everybody, and I think that makes a lot of he gets a lot of respect for that, man. I got the utmost respect and love for Skippy Cohen, so. I'm glad he was able to call in and kind of push the boundaries and ask some great questions. You know, we're going to be running out of time here. We do want to thank all of our guests, Chris Barnett, Delaney Owen, and Michael Gattuso. Thank you guys for joining us tonight on what was another great episode of Full Guard Fight Radio. I love this week after week. I know, my co-host here really stepped it up a level tonight, you know, pushing through a rough week and a rough sickness and carried it from the beginning to the end, man.
Well, take care of yourselves. I'm not saving world hunger over here. I mean, I'm talking MMA. I can push through it, but I definitely have had better weeks.
Yeah, man. Just once again, thanks to all of the guests. As always, thank you to our sponsors: BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, GameChangerNow.com, GatorMMA.com, and FutureFighters.com. Each one of these organizations are doing phenomenal things for this beautiful sport, and. They're all helping in the progression of the sport, so check it out. I mean, that's pretty much we're about to wrap up here. Stay tuned with the Facebook page. Check us out, Full Guard Fight Radio on Facebook. Like the page if you like us at all, and we appreciate it. We thank you, anybody and everybody who takes time out of their schedule each week to listen to us ramble on and on about MMA and about people beating each other up. We do appreciate it. I love the sport. Every time I go to another fight, I just fall more and more in love with the sport, and it's a phenomenal ride. It's been a great gig so far, and it's not something that I'm going to let passing by any time now. So I do appreciate it week after week of jumping on here Thursday nights with my co-host Jason London. Guy's got a lot of experience. He brings a lot to the table. I learn from you, Jason, week after week, man. So it's always awesome being on here with you. And,
yeah, have a good time, man. I appreciate it, brother. I really, it breaks up my week very nicely, so I definitely appreciate it with you. So until next week, bud, have a good week, and I'll see you next Thursday on Full Guard Fight Radio.
All right, man. Peace out, everybody. Thanks for listening.